Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Acts chapter number 9. We'll begin at verse number 1. Acts chapter number 9. Verse number 1. Aren't you glad he loves you? Oh, what a good place to be. The Apostle Paul teaches in the scripture, he said that we're made to sit in heavenly places together. And I'm so grateful for that. Appreciate the presence of the Holy Spirit tonight and trust that you'll obey God and mind Him if you've not done that already. Chapter 9, Book of Acts, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. The Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints in Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. And he received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Lord, bless your word. Open it to us. Lord, may we be open to it. We pray for those that resist it. May it break through the strongholds of their heart. May the power of your conviction bring them to that place of godly surrender. I pray for the saints of God that need this truth. And may all of us, Father, respond in obedience. We trust that you'll move in our hearts even as you have before. For we ask this earnestly in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to think about a common message that God has for His people. Three simple words. And did I find them scattered all throughout the Word of God? Anytime that you see the words in red, pay attention, of course. Jesus is giving instruction. And several times I find in the Word of God, especially in the Old Testament, it says, and the Word of the Lord came and spoke. And then you hear these words. As I thought about this, it seemed the Holy Spirit pressed on my heart this week a great burden for this truth. Brenda had shared this morning just her own personal testimony of how that God has been faithful. Every day, God has been faithful. But what I know also about her life is that she's been faithful too. Now, our faithfulness does not create God's faithfulness, and aren't you glad of that? But there is a responsibility within the people of God each and every day to do this simple thing. Arise and go. Think of what a truth this is. Arise and go. It occurred to me that He never wants me to stay in the same place. Spiritually, He is always trying to take me higher. You see, when we stand still, we become stagnant, apathetic, and before long, uncaring, because the status quo begins to settle in our hearts, and we begin to think that all that's required of me is this and this. Yet I serve a God that is limitless in His power, in His ability to do in each one of us things that are marvelous in every way. He says to us, get up and go. Do something for God. Now, here's where you've got to fill in the blank for your own life, right? I can't tell you what it is that God's trying to do, but here's what I know. There is nothing about God that is stagnant. There is nothing about God that is backing up or sitting still. He is always trying to move His people forward. I want to share with you just a few things from the Scripture as we try to bring this as clear as we possibly can. When God came to Abram, you know what He said to him? He said, get up and get out of this land. He moved him from where he was. And I realize that's an uncomfortable thought. But may I say to you today that God doesn't stand still. He's constantly moving us, putting us in a place where He might be exalted even more. I want you to know God's trying to make His people see that there ought to be a movement for Him, not a sitting, but a moving, something that shares to the world His glory and His grace. Get out of this country, Abram. I'm going to take you to a place that you've never seen before. What a thought. He told old Jacob, after Jacob had finally got peace with Esau, his brother, he said, now arise and go back to Bethel. That was what Jacob had to do, was he had to go back to Bethel. And he said, there, build me an altar. There, set up your camp for me. Friend, listen, when Jesus tells us to get up and go, I believe there's a universal call for the church and God's people, amen, to get up from their place of apathy, their place of unconcern, and be about the Father's business. What the Apostle Paul said was this: it's high time that we awake out of our sleep, that we come out of the works of darkness, and do the blessed things of life. Those things that He's given you and I to do, friend, it's a simple command. Get up and go for God. Do something. The word of God came to the prophet Jonah. Do you know what He told Jonah? He said, arise and go into Nineveh, that wicked city, and declare unto them my word. You see, that was a simple truth, but I want you to know he's telling it to all of us. We have a responsibility to do our part, to get up and go for God. You know what Jonah did? He got up all right, but he went the wrong way. God had told him just exactly what to do, and Jonah went the opposite direction. But you see, Jonah's journey wasn't over. Just because I make a mistake, and let me be clear, I make mistakes. There are times when I don't do what I ought to do. And every one of us, if we're honest, will find that this is a truth. We fail God. But I want you to know he never stops with you and I. He continuously brings us into that place where we can hear his voice say, get up and go for me. The prophet Isaiah, I believe it is, said, who shall go? Who shall go? Though Isaiah was able to say, send me. Send me. Because God's word is about going forward. It's not about going back or standing still. It's about moving. It is about taking the cross to someone else, to somewhere else, to do our very best to exalt the kingdom of God in this world. Jonah didn't do it, but he had the word of God. God's word was, arise and go to Nineveh. The Bible said as he slept on that boat and as the thing was seemingly near to sink and all those men were praying unto God, Scripture said that the captain of the ship, I don't know if he had lost track of Jonah, but evidently he remembered where he was and he went down in the ship where Jonah was sleeping. And you know what the captain of the ship told him? He said, what meaneth this, O sleeper? He said, arise and call on your God. A heathen was giving him the truth. It's simple, you see. It's three simple words, arise and go. What God had told Jonah to do, here he used a pagan, a shipmaster, to tell him the same thing. Get up out of your bed and call on your God. Amen. It's time the church was obedient to the call of Jesus Christ. The call came to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord said, arise and go down to the potter's house. Boy, he got a good message that day, didn't he? Jeremiah got to watch as the potter worked to work on the wheel. And he recorded that. You know where it started, Sam? It was in the obedience of Jeremiah when God told him those three little words, get up and go down to the potter's house. I want you to know that he's instructing us every day. God is not somewhere out there unconnected or detached from you and I. He is constantly trying to move us forward for him and for us. He went down to the potter's house and oh, he saw something that would forever change him and us too. A work on the wheel that when it was broken, he saw it remade. Arise and go. I thought of the prodigal son when he got down there in that terrible place. He had run from God just as far as he could run. He tried his best to waste it all. And when he found himself without nothing, near starving to death, the scripture said that he came to himself. And you know what he said then? He said, I'm going to get up and go back home. Boy, that's starting to ring a bell, isn't it? Every time we find ourselves in that place where we're simply broken and need him, here's a simple truth for you. Arise and go. Amen. That's all I've ever had to do. When you get to that place where you feel like you can't go any farther, where the sin of this world has bound your own soul, where everything that seems to be a burden and strips you of the very peace you desire, let me tell you something. Get up and go to God. He has what you need today.
Amen.
What a simple truth. That this poor young man, finally coming to himself, said, I will arise and go back to my father's house. Philip was out there preaching a revival, and the Spirit of God came to him, and the Spirit of God said, arise and go down into the south there toward Gaza. And he said, I'm going to join you up with somebody down there. You see this? what Philip had to do. He was in a great revival, by the way. The Bible said people were coming to the Lord. They were just many multitudes in that great revival. And yet Lot, the Lord told Philip, said, get up and go down to Gaza. You know why? Because he had one eunuch that needed to know who Jesus was.
Amen.
And his command to his man was, get up and go down to that place. And old Philip got up. And he took off and he headed down into Gaza, and the Bible said he saw him coming, the old eunuch reading the scripture in Isaiah, reading about the lamb that had been slain. And the Bible said that when he got to him, he asked him, he said, do you know what you're reading? And he said, how can I accept a man and help me to understand it? And the Bible said he took the word of God from that point and began to share with him Jesus Christ. And you know what happened? The old eunuch got saved.
Yep.
You know how it started? It started from Philip obeying the command of God to arise and go. Arise and go. You say, preacher, I'm afraid to be that willing unto God. He'd liable to call me to preach or something crazy like that. You know, that ain't got anything to do with it. The probability of that happening, by the way, is very slim. There may be a handful of you, maybe one or two, that he'll call out to preach, but the rest of you have just got to help us. Amen. He don't need 100 preachers. He just needs people that'll listen to him. But old Philip was willing. And all God would say to him is, get up and go down. Old Philip, he took off and he went down there and he got to see the old eunuch saved. They come to that little body of water and the eunuch said, hey, here's some water. What hinders me from being baptized? He said, if you believe in Jesus Christ, he said, you can be baptized. And he took him in the water, baptized him. The Bible said the Spirit called old Philip up and sent him on. Arise and go. We find ourselves there with the Apostle Paul where we started. There was Paul on his way to Damascus. The scripture said, breathing out threatenings and slaughters toward the disciples of the Lord. I believe there's so much hate in his heart for those that had followed this Jesus whom he did not know. He didn't know him. Now, let's be clear. He knew who Jehovah was. He was a Jew. He was a Pharisee by the law. He knew who God was. And yet on his way down to Damascus, the Bible said that there was a light shone down from heaven. And when that light hit him, boom, it knocked him off his animal or where, I don't know if he's riding something, but the Bible said he ended up on the ground blind. I don't know about you, but if it takes God bringing that kind of change in your heart or mind for us to be able to hear his direction, so be it. Because the truth is still simple. We need to get up and go for God. I heard him talking earlier about a desire, asking for somebody to pray for you, that you would be a light to somebody else. You're on the right track. Get up and go. Right? Do it. Live it. It is a simple command, and you find it all through Scripture. What God wants us to do is to get up and go for Him. He said, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And you know what Saul said? He said, who art thou, Lord? He didn't know Him. Now, Jehovah he knew. And he also knew that if God the Father spoke to anybody, you know what typically happened? They'd either die, or he'd heard the stories about Moses, how he'd come off the mountain and you couldn't look upon him. But when he said, who art thou, Lord? I believe he was serious. He didn't know the man speaking. And that's just exactly what God wanted to do. What Jesus wanted to do with Saul was to introduce to him the one he was fighting against. He said, who art thou, Lord? He knew he was some form of deity.
Right.
Yeah, he'd been knocked off. He's laying on his face blind.
Right.
And whatever that voice was, it was pouring through his whole being. He knew that whoever it was he was speaking to was divine in nature. Who art thou, Lord? And I love how he responded to him. He said, I am Jesus. The very one that you're fighting against, that's who I am. See, Saul didn't believe in him up to that point. But at that point, he was a believer. And the words that he told Saul was simple. He said, arise and go into the city. And I'll tell you what you need to know. Aren't you glad that it's a simple message? Get up and go. Just do something. Get up and go. Follow the instruction of God. And old Saul, he went down to the house of Judas, and there he waited for 3 days, blind as he could be, waiting. And in those 3 days, he had a vision and saw, as he was praying continuously unto this Jesus he had just met. And in this time, he saw a man named Ananias coming to him, laying his hands on him, and that he might receive his sight. And about the same time, God began to speak to Ananias. And his command to Ananias was the same as it was to Paul. They had completely different purposes in life. And yet the command of God was the same. He said to Ananias, arise and go. Go down into the street called Straight. And he said, there you'll find one, Saul of Tarsus. He said, he's waiting on you. He knows you're coming. And sure enough, old Ananias got up and he went. And when he walked in that house, he did so with faith. And when he looked at the man sitting there blind, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus whom you've met on the way to Damascus, hath sent me. It all starts with arise and go. Arise and go. Remember when Peter was sitting there and he was praying and suddenly he was in a trance and a sheet come down out of heaven and the voice of God said, arise and eat. Seems like he's always telling us to get up. You know why that is? Because spiritually we always sit down. Human nature, amen, as Christian men and women of faith, what we want to do is just sit down. We don't want to go. But I tell you, the joy is when we go. The wonder is when we go. The miracles happen when we go. We can't just keep sitting. In whatever spiritual condition that you're in, there is a command of God to get up and go. And whatever that means for you, you got to start putting that, you got to start following that, obeying Him. Not everybody will have to do what Saul did. Not everybody will have to be the Ananias who had to go and lay his hands on Saul. Not everybody will be Philip that has to go down and for one person, take the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they might believe. But here's what I can tell you. If we'll all just do what he said, get up and go. When he says it, we'll find that he can do the rest. He can do the rest. Jonah had an opportunity. Come get a song. Jonah had an opportunity and he failed. The message was simple. Jonah, get up and go down to Nineveh and preach to that wicked city. Ultimately, Jonah did do what God said to do, didn't he? But Jonah had to go through a miserable time to get to that place. You don't have to do that. I don't either. It's a choice we got to make. You see, in every one of us, there's something every day that God's going to give us to do. I believe that. I believe that every day that you wake up, it's not meaningless. There is something that He wants you to do. There is a purpose for your life. There is a reason that you woke up. There is something that we can do. And the call of God is simple. Get up and go. Whatever that means, we need to start allowing God to employ us for the work that brings glory to Him and to the kingdom. May He be exalted. May others come to know Christ because people simply start doing what He said to do, and that was get up and go. Arise and go. Arise and go. So many are like Jonah, and we start coming up with excuses why we can't do this or why I'm afraid to do that or we're simply unwilling. And yet in the end, for those that are His, He seems to bring us around, doesn't He? For Jonah, it took a whale. It took some time in the belly of the whale, to the bottom of the ocean, and him thinking for sure he was going to die, but he couldn't die. And finally, the scripture said, old Jonah, he said, by reason of mine affliction, I cried. From the belly of hell cried I. And he heard me. He heard me. And that old fish brought old Jonah up to the shore and spit him out. When old Jonah, nasty as he was, coming out of the belly of a fish, when he hit the ground, I believe it was running. He was headed to Nineveh to do what God had told him to do in the beginning. We can avoid the chastening of God if we'll just arise and go. If we'll just do what he said for us to do. Whatever it is he's called you to do, it's time we do it. People are out there everywhere that need Jesus. They're dying without him every day. They need him. And what we've got to do is what he said to do. Arise and go. Stand with us as we sing. If you're here and need the Lord, the altar's open.